RealTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sorokin, joined by Lindsay Ward.
You know, I really was really hopeful for this show. One, because I got confused and didn't realize that the Amway Center stuff wasn't starting till Friday. So there's that. But also, it's the go home for SummerSlam, and they did such a great job with the show last week that I was like really, really hopeful that this week was going to be good and exciting. And Matt, that's really mean to do to Jar. Why would you do that to him?
It's okay. They're far away from points. He won't have to do that one.
Okay. Anyway, but yeah, like I had such really, I don't want to say high hopes, but I really wanted this show to be good. Like, I want to be excited for SummerSlam. I want to be into it because it's official. They're going to the Amway Center. They're going to be broadcasting SmackDown and SummerSlam and Raw and every event moving forward, I think, with the exception of NXT, out of the Amway Center in Orlando. So we are done with the PC. This is officially the last show, F's in chat, pour one out for your girl, at the Performance Center. She did. She served us very well. She was a great, great stopgap for the pandemic, but you know what? Like everybody else, we gotta move on. We're going to bigger, better things, and that would be the Amway Center. So I wanted to like really be excited. I was really hoping that they would like do a nice lead-in.
So Monday Night Raw opened,
and it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Monday Night Raw opened with Drew McIntyre cutting a promo in the ring, and as Drew McIntyre's cutting his promo in the ring, all you see is stuff happening. It's sort of a thing. They're just, you know, retribution's here. The intro to the show was messed up, and so, you know, they gotta continue it, so everyone's just pressing buttons.
Hashtag blame Rob.
Bones!
Bones!
That's basically what
Where is Bo Dallas? What happened to him?
That was not the point of that.
That's... But I'm asking questions because I need to know, where is Bo Dallas? Did he just, like, fall off the face of the planet?
Okay, one, you and I both know where he is and what he's doing.
Yes, we do.
Two,
kind of.
Two, the point of that was they just hit buttons as Drew was talking. Then the Retribution people took over the production truck. We got found out they were in the production truck hitting buttons and just hitting buttons. And Drew McIntyre cutting his go-home promo to SummerSlam gets cut off by Retribution. Your big title match is cut off.
Yeah, I don't think this was the wisest choice to do.
Then he finishes promo backstage talking to the bullies. And then Seth Rollins got involved. And I don't know what... He's the leader. I'm the leader. You're the leader. No, I'm the leader. Do this and do that.
Everybody's the leader! Everybody gets to be the leader!
It was the same exact promo from SmackDown where Corbin was the leader. But on Raw, it's Rollins. And then the Hurt Business was in the ring, and they're calling out the people, and but they believe it's Apollo Crews and Ricochet and his crew. And
okay, so let's unpack everything that happened. So you have your title match, which is your marquee match on SummerSlam, one of them. They're not going to have to do a lot for Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. That's your other marquee match. That's already there. Even though that's a whole other bucket of worms that is confusing as crap, and we're going to talk about that on Thursday, they don't really have to do a ton for that. That's the third match in that series. We're there with it. We understand what's going on with it, kind of. So we don't really have to worry about it. This match, they've been doing a decent job of building. They did a wonderful job last week with Ric Flair and having Randy Orton murder Ric Flair and Drew not being able to really do anything or save him. And of course, the whole setup for that is Shawn Michaels is on the show tonight. So we know for a fact that like that's going to be Randy and Drew right there. Because Randy's in the habit of taking out legends. So knowing all of that, you have Drew out there. He's cutting his promo. It's a good promo. And you have Retribution show up. And okay. I'm going to say this. I am happy that they're having Retribution move on to bigger things, like getting into the production truck. Okay? Like breaking up matches, like attacking people. That kind of stuff, I feel like, is where they need to go with them. So I feel like they're moving them in a right direction because they need to do more than just basic property damage. People need to feel the pain. You need to have people start to, like, basically be upset and get nervous and want to do something about it, which is what they did tonight. Again, that was another really good thing. Should you have done it in the middle of your World Champions promo leading into SummerSlam?
No.
Probably not.
No.
From a storytelling standpoint, I get it. They're supposed to be anarchists. They're supposed to be just raining terror and destruction. But here's the thing. They attacked the production truck and then didn't see them the rest of the night.
Okay. This will all make sense if, big if, they cost Drew McIntyre the title on Sunday.
Which they probably won't. But, yeah. So, this kind of, like, interrupting Drew with it took a lot of the wind out of the sails for me. And then Drew cutting the promo in the back was, it was like, it was a good promo, right? But you're just sitting there and you're like, oh, okay. And then he and Seth start arguing and it's like, what is going on right now?
Lots of just stuff.
There was so much, and then there was a lot of, like, really rough production issues, which I get they're trying to simulate that the truck is messed up, and there's all sorts of stuff going on. Like, you basically had Retribution hold the truck essentially hostage for about 5 minutes, where they had, like, crowbars pointed at people's throats, and they were making them hit buttons. Was Kenneth Coven done anywhere to be found? No. But they were still making people hit buttons. It was interesting. They tried a thing. I don't know if it really worked they wanted it to work.
It didn't work.
Like, the whole Retribution thing just feels very forced.
The Retribution thing should have happened when they went back live so they could do some actual stuff. The Retribution thing should have waited till after SummerSlam because reasons.
Well, I feel like they shouldn't have announced Retribution to begin with. They should have just shown up, right? Like, they should have just started wreaking havoc, right?
That's what happens when you have a tape product and the WWE wants to get the word out about something and they leak stuff to the more reporters.
But they shouldn't have leaked it.
I know. They should have never leaked the name of the group. They should never gave the group a name either, because that makes things, you know, not the best.
So they tried a thing at the beginning of the show. I don't think it necessarily worked the way that they wanted it to.
Nope.
But it's hard to say if that's how they wanted it to go or not, because obviously we're not there. But just from a viewing standpoint, it was very disjointed. It was very hard to follow. The production issues made it really hard to watch. Like, the first hour of Raw was actually really, really hard to watch, to the point that it's like, why am I still watching this?
When MVP was out here cutting his promo about Sunday and Apollo Crews in the US title, and the weird camera angles they were trying to show that they're not on. Oh, this would have definitely happened on Paul Heyman's watch, and it would have been 10 times worse, because Paul Heyman would go over the top with it.
For all we know, it could have been better because Heyman would have gone over the top with it.
Could have been. But Heyman would have went over the top. Anyway, point is that the camera angles were terrible. I'm just glad the basketball game was also on, had on the computer. Anyway, so MVP's out there. He's cutting his promo. Paula Cruz comes out. He's cutting his promo. And he says, if I beat Shelton Benjamin tonight, then Lashley and Benjamin are banned from ringside at SummerSlam. And it's like, okay. So we had a 2-minute match where Apollo Crews beat Shelton Benjamin, and then R-Truth ran out. Oh no, Hurt Business was attacking Apollo. Mustafa Ali, Ricochet, and Alexander came out, and then R-Truth came out. He ran into Shelton Benjamin, got the title back from him. He's the 24/7 champion. Yowie wowie.
Okay.
No, we gotta continue. There's more to this story, okay? Because later on, it was then booked into a 6-person elimination match between Apollo's crew and the Hurt Business, but Cedric was left out because he had to could only choose, you know, 2 of his boys, not 3 of his boys. And then we had the elimination match where Mustafa Ali was on the ring for 1:40 before being eliminated. And then Ricochet was gone. And then Shelton was gone. But before Shelton was actually eliminated, right after he was eliminated from the match, Cedric Alexander came out with a referee and rolled up Shelton and became the 24/7 champion. Then we continued the match where it was down to Apollo Crews versus MVP and Lashley, and then Crews would end up losing the match. Then Cedric took on the ninja character Zawa, retained his title. Then he lost the title back to Shelton. Then I just...
The F word, my life, your majesty.
That's how I feel.
Okay. All right. Let's unpack all of that, because there's quite a lot to unpack. So, I appreciate that they are trying to make the Hurt Business. I think they had a very, very strong, good concept in it. I don't understand, let's speak proper English, that's important. Why are you making Shelton and Bobby MVP's lackeys?
No, better question. I don't need the Hurt Business in 10 segments.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. Just let me ask my questions.
Because MVP signed a multi-year deal.
I know that, but it's like...
That's your answer.
But
nothing.
I'm fine with MVP being a manager, and if he has to occasionally wrestle, that's fine. But I'm not sure I'm cool with MVP getting put over Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin.
Here's the thing. Before this pandemic started, he wrestled at the Royal Rumble, and then the night after WrestleMania, the night after Royal Rumble, it was his final match. Clearly not.
I mean, I get that he's stepping up. I think he's stepping up right now because there's a pandemic, and that's great. But I'm not sure why we're making MVP really the central focus of this group.
Because Lashley can't talk, and they always sour on Lashley.
Well, I understand Lashley can't talk, but MVP can. Like, I thought that was the whole point of that pairing, was that, like, Lashley can't talk, but he looks badass. So it's like, let's put him with MVP, who can talk, who can get over, who is engaging, and can get Lashley over. And together, they'll look like a pair of bosses.
Can we go back to the title match?
No.
Why?
And then...
No. With Lashley, and when he fought Drew McIntyre, and then lost. You want to know why Lashley's not a badass, and the act is failing? That's why.
Yeah, I know that's why.
I'm just making a point.
But then you kind of made up for it when you put Lashley in the underground for a second. And then he beat the shit out of people. And why he hasn't gone back to that and he's not dominating that, I don't understand. Anyway.
He's a legit MMA fighter. He can beat anyone's ass out there. Why isn't he doing it? Why is he second fiddle to MVP? That's the question she's asking, and there's no reasonable answer for that. I'm trying to give answers, but there's no reasonable answer.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like I said, I like the Hurt Business. I really like the concept of it.
It has potential.
It's putting people on TV that were not on TV previously. It's giving them a chance. It's giving them an opportunity on both sides, because you have Apollo Crews finally on TV with a title, doing things and looking good doing them. It's bringing out Cedric Alexander. He's now back on TV doing things, out there looking good. You've got Ricochet. You've got Mustafa Ali. Who are barely on TV, but now they're involved in this and they're looking good. Like, it's great for everybody involved in this because they're all now back on TV. So it's a positive thing. What I don't understand is why are Lashley and Benjamin lackeys for MVP? Why are you having Mustafa Ali and Ricochet lose in 30 seconds? Legit, Mustafa Ali was in that match, the six-man tag, for 30 seconds, and that was it. His entrance was longer. Like, I don't understand why we're doing that. And I get it, you wanted to get down to the meat and the potatoes of that match, right? Because Mustafa and Ricochet ultimately are extraneous to it. They're just kind of there. And you wanted to get to what the actual SummerSlam match was. But then in the middle of the whole entire thing, you have the freaking 24/7 title shenanigans, which are hilarious, right? Why are we doing them in the middle of matches? I know they've done it before, but why are we doing it now? Like, if you want to do it after the match, if you want to do it before the match, that's fine. But in the middle of the match, what? Just what? Okay. All right, I guess. And to do that many title changes in one night is a little dizzying. Again, I know they've done it before, but it's a lot to keep up with. It just feels over-engineered. It feels overbooked. Like, they overthought this. Like, whoever booked the Raw from 2 weeks ago, booked this show. Because we're back to where we were 2 weeks ago. That's what this show feels like. It just, this whole bit just was like, what are you doing? Why are we going here? I don't understand. Like, I really want to like this and I really want to be positive about it, but why is this happening the way that this is happening and not evolving organically? Again, they're trying to force something that doesn't necessarily need to be forced, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to be positive about this. I'm really trying to be positive about
this. She's trying to drown out my negativity about this.
I'm not trying to drown out your negativity.
No, I'm not trying to
sit here and be overly negative about it, because I don't want to be overly negative about it. Like, here's the thing. I understand that a lot of people worked really, really, really hard on this show, okay? I get that. I respect that, right? They are trying to do their level best with what they got, right? Their product is just fucked right now.
This show is very flat. The show is very boring in general. Did we have good wrestling? Yes. We had great wrestling when it came to Sasha Banks and Bayley taking on Asuka and Shayna Baszler, which Shayna Baszler tapped out Bayley. It was a good match. It was the best thing on this show, by far, in terms of wrestling. Best thing. Like, Bayley and Sasha, I tweeted this on Friday, have been the best thing on WWE television.
One of the best things, yeah.
No, legitimately the best thing on WWE TV. Because there's issues
with... I'm biased.
I know you're biased, but you also have very many questions about him on television right now and where it's going.
Well, okay, all right. Up until 2 weeks ago, I didn't.
Right. Okay. Point is, but then he was gone for a month too, so it does. Anyway, Bayley and Sasha have been the best thing on television. Asuka's right there with them. Shayna Baszler coming in and getting a win, that was cool. What we didn't need was Nia Jax running in and showing up. Why? I don't know, because they like Nia Jax. Then, okay, cool, this was awesome. This was another thing I found exciting about this show, was Marina and Jasmine were on the show with Shayna, and they went into the Raw Underground. That was awesome. It was fantastic when Marina was beating on the girl. It was fantastic. Then Nia Jax shows up, beats up Marina, and stuff, and then it's like Shayna gets in the ring with her, and they call for the bell. Come on, call for the bell. And then Nia runs away. She's a big damn coward. She's suspended, apparently, but apparently she can get in the Raw Underground. She's no longer suspended. Is it up? No one tells us anything. She just sort of showed up and went, hey, I'm Nia Jax. Look at me. Give me the attention. Ha ha. I mean, maybe that's the point with her. I don't know. But it ruined the thing with the girls because they're legit badasses and Nia's not.
All right. So I wasn't finished, but we'll move on.
Yeah, I want to move this show along a little bit.
Okay, but I'd like to be able to finish.
Go finish your point.
God damn.
I'm in a mood.
I know you're in a mood, but chill.
Okay.
So the whole Nia Jax thing. All right. So she's feuding with Shayna. She did something to get suspended. I'm not 100% sure. She beat up Pat Buck. It happened when I was out of town, so I wasn't really sure what beyond the whole Pat Buck thing, if there was like a reason why they suspended her,
He's a WWE official, and so he had the power to indefinitely suspend her because she didn't apologize, and then she pushed him down again. So that's what happened.
Okay, all right.
Stupidity, but yeah, continue.
She attacks Pat Buck. She leaves a giant makeup stain on his shirt, and he suspends her. So she goes away for a while, right? She's in the middle of the feud with Shayna. So Shayna's out there looking good, being a badass. They're pushing Shayna right now, which is awesome. And then Nia Jax comes back and interrupts Shayna, which is like...
Mid-match, no disqualification.
Yeah, mid-match, no disqualification. Referee discretion.
It's AEW.
And it's like, okay, all right. So I guess they're picking you back up. Nia had her break, and now she's back. I don't know. You know what? Honestly, truthfully, here's my take on this. I'm okay with Nia showing up in the Underground. Here's why. It's not sanctioned. Nothing about the Underground is sanctioned. So anybody can show up, right? Anybody can turn up. If you want to beat the shit out of somebody, you go to the Underground. Whether you're suspended or not, that's the vibe I get on that. So I would have rather seen Nia come back and beat the shit out of Shayna's girls, even though Marina looked badass, and thank you for finally doing something with Marina Reef and Jessamyn Duke. Thank you. Prior to Nia showing up, I would have rather seen that and her come back and attack her girls Shayna chases her off than have her interfere beforehand. Like, to me, that helps, because now it's in this environment where you have Retribution running around and you just have this massive level of chaos going on. Nia Jax gets back in the building and she starts beating up Shayna's girls to draw Shayna out into the Underground. And then you can have a series of confrontations between the two in a storytelling perspective in the Underground until either one of two things happens. Nia gets reinstated and they have a match, or Shayna gets an unsanctioned match with Nia and they fight.
Or here's the WWE predictable thing. Nia will be unsuspended next week and she'll fight Shayna Baszler at Payback.
Probably. But that would be a natural storytelling perspective. Here they're not doing that. They tried to go for the sneak attack by Nia and then they had her show up in the Underground. It's like, okay, all right. So you had her attack Shayna. I feel like it's better, because it makes Shayna look more vulnerable and it kind of puts her more in that babyface position if she has to come in and save her girls. Because the setup to this was, you saw Shayna sitting in the back talking to Jessamyn and Marina before Nia showed up in the Underground. So they're reestablishing the four horsewomen, kind of. Mm-hmm. It's really the three horsewomen minus Ronda. But they're reestablishing that connection. They're setting that back up. So they told that story from a visual perspective of, here's the connection between the three, and then Nia Jax is going to come beat them up, which is the reason why Shayna comes and saves them. It's very simple, it's very direct, but it works. I'm going to have to see where this goes, because part of me is really, really worried that they're going to sacrifice Shayna Baszler on the altar of Nia Jax, and I don't want them to do that. Shayna, if they let her have her run, if they let her do what she did in NXT, she could absolutely be a top star for them. She could be a complete top heel for them in the women's division, which I feel like they really, outside the Golden Role Models, they really sort of need a top heel, because they don't necessarily really have it outside of Bayley and Sasha. They're kind of the only ones. So they need kind of that second or that other person that's right there with Bayley and Sasha to pick up the slack and sort of like help take over the rest of the division. Or you just have Shayna lurking right there waiting for Bayley or Sasha to drop their guard, and she's going to come in and take one of their titles. You could also freebird it with the three girls and they could take the tag titles, and then they run around with the tag titles. There's a lot of options that you can do there. I'm just worried that if they sacrifice Shayna to Nia, that that's it for Shayna. And I feel like that's not right for Shayna because she did all this wonderful work in NXT. Like, she carried NXT on her back for, what, a year and a half?
Two
years? Like, if you're going to do this shit where you're just going to do that to her, just send her back to NXT. Just have her go back because it would be easier because she'll be better applied there than she is right now on Raw or SmackDown. I'm done. I can go? You can go.
Okay. More stupidity. Angel Garza is flirting with the bachelorette chick who won't ever leave because reasons. Ivar gave her a turkey leg. Then Garza knocked the turkey leg out of the girl's hand. They had a match. Angel Garza won. Then Dawkins and was on the big screen and talking smack and brought up the, you know, Garza and Charlie and all that stuff. And then there was some footage that had to be seen. And where did
they get? Ash, he is.
Yes, he is very much married. But then there's footage, and then Samoa Joe apparently was the one who saw the footage and then gave it to Angela Dawkins, and Zelina was yelling at Samoa Joe and yada, yada, yada. We come back from break, we see the footage, and it's, you know, Zelina poisoning Montez. Then Montez showed back up. Woohoo! He's back. Cool, that should have been it. There's the pull of our brawl. We're heading into a tag match. Everything's good. Sweet. Nope, we're going to WWE this. We then have a match where, you know, Montez takes on Andrade. Montez got the win. But then Bianca showed up and got into it with Zelina, which is all fine and good. But you could have ended it with the Boulevard Brawl because then you're leading to the match. But you had to throw another match in because you needed to fill more time.
Okay, so breaking all that down. So this is one of the more interesting stories that they were telling coming out of last week, where basically Montez Ford got poisoned, which it's like, okay, not sure how anybody would do that, but all right. And it's assumed Zelina did it. And the one thing that they did not mention on TV, that they continued to not mention on TV, is that Zelina and Bianca are going for this, like, to the point that Bianca drove over to Zelina's house and attacked her while she was streaming on Twitch. Like, that is the level of dedication that these two women are going at this. And they just never brought it up on TV, which is just so sad. Because legit, they went for it.
Can I interrupt you really quick?
Yes.
They're never going to drop the third hour. The third hour brings them a shit ton of money. They're never dropping it. So anyone who says they need to drop the third hour are stupid when it makes them a shit ton of money. Moving on, you can continue.
Okay. I'll hit on that after I'm done. Also,
if you have better creativity, the third hour wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, normally the third hour is not bad. It's just right now they're struggling with it because they don't have enough talent to fill it. That has been the constant struggle with Raw, is that they just don't have the right creative. They don't have the right talent. Because here is the one quintessential thing that you're missing from WWE TV that eats up a lot of time. That would be Mr. Roman Reigns.
Donna.
I don't think anybody realized how much time he actually took up on the shows until he wasn't there, and then they had to fill his time.
Or, you can't see me.
Yep, or him too. So, they're struggling right now because they're lacking top stars. A lot of them are staying off TV. A lot of them are staying home because of the pandemic, rightfully so. So, it's... they're working with what they got. So the third hour is the third hour. It's going to be whatever it is. But once they can get it back to normal, it should be okay. Going back to the Joe and Zelina stuff.
Wait.
Or the Zelina and Bianca stuff.
You had a point where she interrupted her on Twitch, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Hey, if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Just subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. Do the thing. Hit the button. Yay, shameless plug, go ahead. She's mad at me. I interrupted her for a shameless plug.
No, I'm not mad at you.
No, she's going to hit the button. That's what she's doing. So,
I'm just waiting for it to come through.
She's waiting for it to come through. So it doesn't...
because that reminded me, hit the button. Anyway, so going back to it. So you have this story coming out of last week where basically Zelina and Bianca are getting in each other's faces. You have the Street Profits feuding with Zelina's... guys, you have Angel Garza out here being a hoe. Why Angel Garza has to be out here being a hoe, I don't know. But he is. Anyway.
Hoe and no, that rhymed.
And then there's just Andrade, who's just caught in this hot mess. So this had my attention. This was really, really good. I was enjoying the crap out of this. And then they pulled a little something. So you had the Joe Zelina stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where Zelina Vega basically calls out Samoa Joe about talking crap and spreading rumors. And they need to stop teasing me with Joe, because I really just want him to get up and murder people. And the fact that you can just have him sit there calm as a cucumber with a smile on his face, and he threatens somebody so suavely and charmingly, if that's a word, and he's just so debonair about the whole thing, is disgusting. And I love it, because he basically looks at Zelina Vega and he's like, yeah, so somebody showed me some footage and I showed it to somebody else. And well, isn't it interesting what people will get up to when they think nobody's watching? And Zelina gets this really nervous little look on her face, and they kind of book it out of there, because she's like, Joe's like, I'm going to show everybody, because F you, because I can. I'm Samoa goddamn Joe. I'm going to do whatever I want. Like, legit, that's what it was, which was great. I loved everything about it. Ashy's not even trying to play a gigolo. He would be getting paid if he was a gigolo. He's just trying to be a hoe. So then we see the footage. Or actually, no, then we go backstage where we have the interview segment, which is where Montez came back. Again, these were great facial reactions from Zelina, because she's basically getting accused of poisoning Montez. And she's like, What? How dare you? No.
It all showed us I had a nice jacket.
Yeah, it's like all, because we saw the footage, right? And it's Zelina by the drink, and we can't see what she's doing, but, you know, it's very clearly intended to imply that she is poisoning his drink. So, you know, basically Zelina's being accused, and she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. No, I didn't touch it. You can't prove that I touched it. I mean, all I did was just standing happily, you know, right? No, hoes don't necessarily get paid. I know people. That's why I can say that. Anyway, back to my point. So she's standing there, and it's just a great little reaction on their part. And you're sitting there waiting for Bianca, right? You're waiting for her to come and flying at Zelina's face. But instead, we had Montez come back, and he comes flying at the boys' faces, and a fight ensues, which was the setup for this whole thing. Then we get to the Angel Garza stuff. This makes me so upset. Why are we having him be a hoe? Why? I mean, I understand it. They're trying to do the Latin lover thing. That's wonderful. Except there's one problem with that. He's married. We all know he's married. We're not stupid.
Want to know why we're not stupid? Because you did the engagement on NXT television.
Exactly. His very first first match in NXT, or his first title win or something like that.
First title
win. He proposed to his girlfriend on TV. And then I think they put it out on social that they had gotten married. Like, we're not stupid. It's like, I get that there is a break per se where the character is not the person, but in this instance, if I was his wife, I'd be pissed. Be like, what the hell are you doing? You get away from her. No. Like, at least in storyline, in canon, in whatever you want to call it, Ivar is not married, right? Like, Ivar is not with anybody. He's not married that we know of. So it's like, it's fine that he's walking around handing random turkey legs that he can summon to women. Like, that's fine. Angel Garza, he's married. We know he's married. We're not stupid. Please stop with this, with him being a flirt and him giving roses to the Bachelorette chick, which is why they're doing it, right? She was on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or something. I don't know. And they're giving her a rose.
Why is she still there? Is she held captured?
I don't know why she's still there. Why is she still there? What is she the tie into? I'm not sure.
I have no idea, because The Bachelor is a different network.
But, And this is my... This is where it gets really weird, because you have Ivar being sweet, lovable Ivar, right? And he's smiling and he's happy and he's doing the turkey leg gag and, you know, everything like that with Garza and the Bachelorette chick. Sorry. And then like an hour later, he's tough Ivar.
He's in the underground with him, backing up his boy.
He's in the underground with Eric. As Eric's losing to Dolph Ziggler, and they're in fights, and they're yelling, and they're screaming, and they're growling, and they're all Viking-y.
Also, Riddick Moss fought the MMA guy.
Well, I wasn't going to get to that.
I'm trying to get some new stuff on this.
I know. I have a lot to say.
Oh, I know, and there's more to get to.
I didn't like how disjointed this felt. And I understand that, like, yeah, you get done flirting with the bachelorette chick, so I really want to throw down, so I'm going to go to the underground. Don't have Ivar being sweet and lovable and then have him be murder Ivar later.
Because he's fighting Dolph Ziggler next week.
Like, that's just really, it's just very confusing.
Oh, speaking of Dolph, because he was involved. We don't need him doing Bret Hart 4 out of 10 jokes on television. Yeah, you're an internet meme. Congratulations.
He did a thing. He tried. Didn't work. Also, what are they doing in the underground? Because Shane went in and it was nothing but smoke. I need a lot of answers.
You know what they're doing. But you mentioned Samoa Joe, and I'm trying to tie everything together. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he has the dirt on whether Rey Mysterio is going to show up or not on the show, and Seth Rollins needed to know this answer. So importantly, that it was the return of Mickie James after a damn year plus of her being out injured. She's back, doesn't get an entrance, neither does Natty. They're having their match, ends in the countdown, but the only thing we see is Seth Rollins talking to Joe. Is Rey here? Is Rey here? Do you know? You know. Tell me, you know. You know, you know, you do know, you know, tell me, what are your sources? Tell me, Joe, tell me, Joe, tell me, tell me. Joe's like, you're scared, Seth, you're scared. Tell me, Joe, tell me.
I had to take my glasses off for this because this just hurt my soul. You have two incredible talents in Mickie James and Natty. No entrances, no nothing, just hard cut back to them. And in the middle of the match, Seth comes out and they take the story away from the two of them and they're just background players.
Yep.
Because Seth is demanding that Joe tell him if Ray's showing up or not. This was, to me, rude. This felt disrespectful, and I understand it was meant to feel disrespectful. I get that. But this was not the right kind of disrespectful. This was, why would you do that? Why would you have Seth Rollins in the middle of a match for anybody, never mind it's Mickey and Natty, come down and demand answers like that? You could have very easily had him wait till the end of the match, and he comes down and he demands the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's like, again, it's Mickey's return to the ring. It's the first time she's wrestled in over a year. You're trying to build something new with Natty and Lana, where they're together, they're a pairing, and Lana is managing Natty, and that all took a backseat to the Seth Rey storyline. I get it. The Seth Rey storyline is far more important, and it's bigger, and we're pushing to SummerSlam because, God willing, this is the final match in this series.
Nope.
Please,
nope.
This story has drug on.
Nope.
Forever.
Nope. Nope.
Probably not.
Nope. Nope.
But at least let the girls do their thing. Because obviously you had time because you squeezed a 24/7 title match in at the end. Or not a 20. You
yeah,
squeezed
you
the match in between
and
Andrade and Montez at the end.
Yep. You threw two matches in that didn't need to be on the show. Into the show. Other matches that happened on the show is Peyton Royce beat Ruby Riott. Liv and Ruby are still not on the same page. It's going to get there. They'll be back on the same page.
Okay, I just have to make this very quick comment, and it's probably not going to be quick, so just deal with it. In this modern world, where there's, you know, several magical places, actually, where you can go back and you can watch what happened in a match from the week prior, you would think, I don't know, curiosity, maybe she's telling the truth, why the hell not, that somebody would go back and watch the match and be like, oh, hey, look, she did actually run into me, it's fine. Or hey, in the world of a production truck, they can literally hit a little magic button on the dashboard and it rewinds the footage back. So you can see that, in fact, it was not Ruby. Like, I get it. They're trying to have the tension, but that just occurred to me watching this match. It's like, you could have easily gone back and watched that and known it was not her. And I just don't understand why they just don't ever utilize that in the storytelling sense. It's like, they act as if YouTube and the network and instant replay are not a thing. And I get instant replay in WWE isn't really a thing, but it is a thing. It's weird. They don't use it for decisions in matches, but they do constant instant replays of stuff in the show. It's like, it's this really weird level of denial that all of this stuff exists for storyline purposes, or that Liv has the curiosity of a carrot and she doesn't want to go back and actually see what happened in the match, that maybe Ruby was telling the truth and she really didn't hit Liv and cost her the match. It's just the most bizarre. And every time they do this, where it's like, oh, we're not on the same page, excuse me, and something happens in a match, and they can't figure out why something it has in a match, it's like, does nobody have YouTube in your world? Or Twitter? Because the clip's actually on Twitter. You can go see it on Twitter. Go to the GIF page. The GIF Twitter. They'll GIF the entire show and have it up before you even have the show done. That's how quick they are.
Well, they used to be. That doesn't happen anymore because they got struck down.
Yeah, Total Divas got taken down, which is, or Total Divas Wrestling, mm-hmm. not the show, but that was the name of the Twitter, was Total Divas. So yeah, that's just my one complaint. And they do it every time. Is it just this really weird level of denial that the network and YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all these things don't exist, where she's not going to see that Ruby didn't in fact hit her, and there's no follow through from Ruby to basically send Liv the clip and be like, hey, I was telling the truth. Look, this is what happened.
It's really simple. It's not lazy writing. It's just 1998 writing where the internet didn't exist.
Yeah, it's just, it's something where it's like, there's a refusal to acknowledge modern technology. It's just like, it's a refusal to acknowledge that the fans have a certain specific level of intelligence, that they just think that we're going to suspend the belief. And we should, right? Like, I absolutely should. I should just, you know, let this go. But it's probably the number one trope that they do that I just really cannot stand. Because it's like, you are all about social media. You are out there on it, constantly plugging it. You are plugging the network. You are plugging your YouTube. You were doing this, you were doing that. But yet, for a simple storyline where somebody ran into somebody else and you're having them with relationship issues, YouTube is a goddamn thing. Like, you just had Samoa Joe 2 hours ago, whenever this aired, throw up a clip of Zelina Vega freaking poisoning Montez Ford. And you're going to sit here and tell me that Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott aren't going to go back and look at the match and figure out what happened?
Can I continue?
Sure.
Rey Mysterio and Dominik came to the ring. Yes, Rey Mysterio is on this show. Yes, he's back. Oh my God, Rey's back. He has a patch over his eye. Oh my God, that's great. He talked a lot. He talked about recovering. He may never see completely again. Who knows? We'll see. But he's here to stand up for his son. And he'll be in his son's corner in the street fight. So that means Rey's going to be involved in the street fight, because the street fight is no disqualification. Cool. Dominic's glad his father's back, and he's going to have his back, and that's cool. But it would make more sense if Dominic just did this on his own. But now Seth Rollins and Murphy, they were talking on the big screen. And then, what kind of father are you? Oh my God, what kind of father are you? And then they came out, and he's still talking. And then Rey and Dominic backed off as they got in the ring. And then, slowly they walked around. Slowly they got kendo sticks. Slowly they did things. Slowly they beat up Seth Rollins until Murphy made a save and he could not take the lashing that Dominic did. Thoughts?
Am I going to be allowed to say them?
Yes!
This is fine. I'm kind of to the point with this where I would really like this to be over.
Won't be. Payback. Tag match.
Yeah, but I would really like this to be finished. I mean, they've done a wonderful job at this. It's done wonders for Seth. It's done wonders for Buddy. I have no idea where Austin Theory went.
He magically got suspended or COVID or something.
He vanished.
He went poof.
And it has helped to bring Dominic into the product and into the fold, which is really what it has been designed to do, is to introduce Dominic Mysterio, get him over, get him in a good position in the company, and then I'm not sure what they're going to do with him after that, whether he goes to NXT, whether he stays on the main roster, what happens, but they've done a really, really, really good job with the whole thing. So yeah, we'll see where this goes. I just hope they don't try to take out any more eyeballs. Please stop.
Because we saw that in real life on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. And there was blood. Just saying, there was blood.
So, Shawn Michaels is backstage. He's giving words of advice to Drew McIntyre. And Drew's like, you know, Shawn's like, Drew, whatever you do, let me have my moment with Randy. Cool. Shawn comes out. We see footage of Ric Flair talking. And Shawn comes out. He's talking about what Flair means to him and means to everyone. There would be no Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Edge, Christian, Big Show, Drew McIntyre, and even Randy Orton if it wasn't for the nature of the way Ric Flair. He said Orton had the greatest of all time mentoring him, and he thinks he deserved it. Michaels said he doesn't know if Orton will meet his justice at the end of Sweet Chin Music or Claymore Kick at SummerSlam. But unlike the tagline of, you'll never see it coming, you will see it coming. Shawn starts to leave. Randy spins around, RKO, and a quick punt. And then Drew McIntyre comes down, and Shawn's up on his knees already. And then Drew's checking on Shawn, and then Orton's back in the ring. They start fighting. Boom, boom, boom. They go to the announce table, into the plexiglass. Boom, boom, boom. Drew's back in the ring, checking on Shawn, who's still on his knees, but not knocked out. Eats an RKO, does Drew McIntyre.
It was a solid finish to the show. Why is it the older Shawn gets, the more he starts to look like Hunter? Like, Shawn and Hunter are becoming one.
Because
they're melding.
They are.
Which is not a bad thing. But they're melding with each other, which is just really bizarre. It was a nice moment between Randy and Shawn. Drew and Shawn, and then Randy and Shawn too. That stuff was nice. The one thing I guess I didn't really understand beyond the magic hat came off and Shawn freaked.
Yeah,
is
now we see why he wears that big NXT hat, because it's thin.
Oh, it's bad.
It's thin at the when you cut it all off and you have nothing to cover. It's thin.
Actually, he should have just left it shaved because it really wasn't that bad shaved. Like, I get he wants hair, but it's not okay at the top, honey.
That's why he wears bandanas and hats.
It's sad. It's really sad because he had such beautiful hair. Anyway, moving on. The one thing I didn't really like was the fact that Shawn was up pretty much instantaneously after the punt. Like, you had Drew come out and make the save, and then Shawn was trying to get up, and meanwhile, everybody else that Randy has punted has just been dead.
Went to death, yeah.
Like, Rick, who was before
Christian.
Rick. Christian, like, everybody. Everybody that Orton has been building this up to, Edge, they're all dead, right? They're just, death. That's it.
Yeah.
Shawn's like, nope, I'm going to use my super strength. I'm going to get up. It's fine. Where's my hat? I need my hat. Where did it go?
Where's my hat? Can we get Shawn a better NXT hat, too?
That's probably one he just pulled out of the bin, because that's not his regular hat.
But no, he always wears that same exact NXT hat. Can we get better designed NXT hats that look more cool?
You know, honestly, that's his good hat.
It
probably sits in his office. That is his TV hat.
I'm just saying, we need better NXT hats. Someone get on it. Lids, get on making a better looking NXT logo hat.
I don't work for them.
I said Lids. I didn't say you. Lids.
No, Lids.
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 Lids, the company, the one with the thing that they have the sponsor with, the New Era, the Lids.
Ash, I don't think Rogan can help that. I think that's a
Jesus
hair
took
transplant.
Jesus took what Shawn had, and you know, when Jesus teamed with Shawn back in the early 2000s.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a full-on, like, I think, hair transplant?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that world. But yeah, that's what that is, because it's the whole top of his, like, head. Basically, he went bald in the back and started to come forward. That's kind of what he did, because he still has, like, the front part of his hair, kind of. But it's a little weird to see, but yeah, he needs a lot of help in that department. But this was good. It was a decent finish.
It was the same finish we got last week.
But for me, this really didn't do a lot to excite me for SummerSlam. And I guess that's my problem, is I was not excited coming out of this show, and I was really hopeful coming into it that it would be good, that it would be exciting, that it would be intriguing, that they would have everything, they would set everything up. And again, I understand there are specific creative challenges that they have that they're working on. And I hope Friday's show is better by comparison. But right now, I'm just really not excited for SummerSlam. I'm more excited for NXT than I am SummerSlam. And Bray's fighting for a title. Think about that.
So with that, are we done? Anything else we need to talk about?
No.
Okay. We'll have more opinions Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, on The Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We're going to be doing NXT TakeOver preview and SummerSlam previews. So you don't want to miss that. And we might have an intern.
We'll see.
And we might have an analyst you'll have to see. So it's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Make sure to subscribe to YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. Make sure you subscribe to us on the iTunes and the Apple Podcasts and the Spotify's and the Stitchers. Because content's coming. Can't say what. Content's coming. Saturday night, midnight, night, it's SuperRadio, SuperLive.com, GreaterThanGreaterMate.com. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, reviewing SummerSlam. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Hey, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Use your free Prime Gaming subscription right here by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. Use creator code ROCKSTAG at Fortnite Item Shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag epic partner, because we're getting more skins and a new season in 10 days.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsford, LNSWRD.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG12. And we'll see you Thursday night for The Rack. And right back here for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern, along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTRLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.